And there we go, everyone. We are back again for another fantastic conversation on Friday Night Counterattack. We are here for one of the biggest weeks in football this season. We aren't doing a draft. We aren't doing a top 10 list. We're not even going through a historical topic today. We're back to our, I'd say, our bread and butter. We're going back to our, what do they have in Sara? Poutine? I haven't had that for a while. Is it Poutine?
Poutine. No, poutine, you did that's not. It.
Poutine is not the one for me. I tried it.
Delicacy. Yeah, that's fine. Oh my goodness.
Now we're back to our staple as well. I'd say pretzel for Leon, who I'll introduce in a second as well.
No, it's schnitzel. Come on.
Nah, there's not much halal schnitzel when I went to Berlin. There's one place that did halal schnitzel, which is not bad at all. But I was like, I could do German doner kebab as a midway, but that's still Turkish, I would say. But we're back to what we're used to doing, just talking about football coming up this weekend across Europe. We have got some special topics to talk about today. We've got a very special guest joining us as well. Introducing my co-host with the most, Sara Pararia. We are going to be talking about your beloved Barcelona today. That's why you're wearing your Barcelona sweater today. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, good. What a week it has been. What a week it will be. Football is nonstop these days. We got Asia Cup final coming up. AFCON's being set as we record live right now with Nigeria and South Africa going into extra time. It has been madness all around for football, and we love it. We love it.
This is why I wanted to do the podcast an hour later, Leon, because it could have gone to penalties in AFCON semi-final between Nigeria and South Africa. It might do, but I'll stay professional and I won't watch it on the side. Sara might, but we'll never know. But introducing our special guest today, all the way from Germany, the first Bayer Leverkusen fan on our podcast, besides me, of course, as well. But again, I'm not an actual fan. I just went to a game and really liked their team. And they're my favorite team to play on FIFA as well. And beat my cousins at FIFA with on Bayer Leverkusen. But again, I'm introducing my friend Leon here. So Leon, introduce yourself to the UK audience. Introduce yourself in what you do, who you support. I know I spoiled it a bit, but I'd rather you give yourself a better introduction than me before I start hyping up Bayer Leverkusen for no reason.
Well, not for no reason, but I'm really...
I'll hype up anyone for no reason. You have a real reason to hype them up. So it's okay, yeah. My friend.
I'm really bad at introducing myself. Hi, I'm Leon. I'm 27 years old. I'm a presenter and social presenter here for DAZN. In Germany, I go to games. I interview fans. I do TikTok videos. That's my job, and I love it.
You're living the life, basically. I need your job in real life.
Basically, yeah.
I'll learn German. I've been learning German for 10 years, and I think I'll be better than just FIFA commentary on German. So believe me, I'll start watching German TV shows and everything. I just need your job. It's one of the coolest jobs as well. And that's how I
noticed you. We can do this podcast in German.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. Sara, do you know German?
I know a bit because of my family that lives there, but it's not anywhere near anything it should be. Yeah.
I don't know your family in Germany. That's crazy.
Yeah, in Frankfurt, but I've also been to I've been to Germany like 4 or 5 times, yeah, under the radar.
Okay, so I'm the least experienced German.
No, I don't think you are.
All I've got is a Germany shirt to be wearing it as well. I went to that Bayer Leverkusen game at the Union, at the stadium, the Olympic Stadium, I was wearing that. And they're like, why is an Englishman wearing a Germany shirt? And I was like, because it's quite cool. But Germany weren't great at the last World Cup, so it's kind of a wasted purchase, but it's a really nice design of an Adidas shirt as well. But onwards with the show, Leon will be talking a lot about Bayer Leverkusen later on down the line as well. Sara, you're going to start us off by talking to us about Barcelona. I'll be talking about Manchester United, and Leon will definitely be talking to us about Bayer Leverkusen. But Sara, take us away. What's been happening with Bayern? No, we're not. We'll stick to our own teams. It'll be so much easier if we stick to our own teams. Sara, Barcelona, Xavi's leaving, next manager in, Victor Roque, all of the above. What's happening at Barcelona, my friend?
Yeah, it never ceases to ceases at Barcelona, just in general, right? Every week there's something new. But for the first time this past weekend, Barcelona had a convincing win against Deportivo Alavés. It looked like a proper football match. But of course, the story was Victor Roque coming in, and within 12 minutes, scores, gets a yellow, gets a red, is sent off. Drama, drama, drama. I feel bad for the young Brazilian because he hasn't been given too much playing time yet by Xavi. And he finally comes in and he scores his second goal. And within moments later, he's sent off for what really wasn't a red card. And again, I'm questioning VAR. It was a very bizarre kind of situation and tackle and foul. And it was unfortunate. I think Barca will appeal this and they'll win. But still, the player was sent off. They still had to play 20 minutes with a man down. But yeah, Barcelona continue to do what they do. They have Granada this weekend, which we can hope will be a easy match. But with Barcelona, nothing is easy. And of course, in about 2 weeks' time, they will be meeting Napoli, which, although they haven't been great this season with the way Barcelona are playing, who knows how that's going to go.
And that will be a Napoli with a returning Victor Osimhen as well. So Victor Osimhen does go all the way to the AFCON final. At the time of recording, it's still 1-1 in extra time. So we will be reacting to it as it goes along as well. But I need to ask you, obviously, about football icon Xavi leaving Barcelona at the end of the season. We haven't spoken about it.
Have we not spoken about it?
Not live on there. We've just been WhatsApping for like 2 weeks about who the next replacement will be. But the front runners right now are former Bayern Munich and Germany manager Hansi Flick and former Mexico icon and Barcelona centre-back Rafael Marquez. Do you know much about Rafael Marquez's style of play? Because for me, all I've seen is Hansi Flick, and I can't say I'm confident in bringing in the former Mexican Barcelona centre-back. What's your thoughts on this, Sarah?
The thing is with Rafa Marquez, it's a really easy fit for Barca because he's already coaching the B team. So he's very familiar with a lot of these players that have come through the Messiah with Gavi, Balde, Marquiu. He's constantly working with, of course, Lamine Yamal, Fort. So I think it's a very seamless fit in the sense of he's already very familiar with the team. Not to mention, he's way cheaper than Hansi Flick. And we know that Barcelona have absolutely no money. The Hansi Flick thing is strange, though, because if you guys remember last season, Barcelona, before they got Xavi, were going after German managers as well. There seems to be some sort of weird connection right now with Joan Laporte wanting a German manager at Barcelona, which is strange because it's not a very common occurrence. Barcelona tends to have either a Spanish or a Dutch manager, if you will. But Germany, it's not as common. So, yeah, it's a bit strange. I do think we'll end up seeing Rafa Marquez because it's going to be a lot cheaper. And at the end of the day, that's kind of what the club needs to focus on. I don't really know how this is going to go.
It's more of a waiting game.
I mean, genuinely, I'm at the point where this has been ongoing now since Guardiola left, since Bartomeu left. Like, it's just been years of this kind of constant cycle where, you know, we might get someone, they might have, you know, a season that's good. And then, okay, everything falls apart again. They lose money. And it's just been like this for so long. It's honestly exhausting. So only time will tell, unfortunately.
Leon, shed some light on German managers because they are kind of the craze now in the Premier League, in the Bundesliga, especially in national football as well. Can you name us a German manager that you think has been really good in the modern era? Because Thomas Tuchel, I don't think he's doing that great of a job at Bayern Munich. He should be doing better in the Champions League, especially after last season. For me, the best manager in the Bundesliga is a Spanish manager, which we'll get onto later on as well. And in the Premier League, a German manager is looking to leave his club of 9 years as well because he's exhausted and has had so much energy taken out of him as well. So is there a German manager you think has really got to be taking this Barcelona job, or do you think it's going to stick within house? What's your point of view?
That's a really great topic because it's a big topic in Germany as well. What's going
to
happen?
Xabi Alonso to Barcelona. You heard it here first. It's happening.
No way. I can't say that with confidence. I don't care if you play at Madrid. No way. Real Madrid, maybe. Liverpool, maybe. Bayern, maybe, but not Barcelona. But that's the thing. I don't think Tuchel will continue at Bayern after this season, especially if they can't win anything. Like, Bundesliga is Bayern für Leverkusen is at the top right now. We have this big game on Saturday. Then Julian Nagelsmann as well. Right now, the Bundestrainer is doing his job until after the European Championship. So then he will be available. And I think those are the two biggest names who could manage Barcelona. I think Tuchel wants back to the Premier League. I've heard that on some reporters.
Newcastle next season, that'd be crazy.
Well, maybe if the money's big enough. I think Julian Nagelsmann isn't that big of a shout because he will be gone from Germany after the European Championships. Maybe Klopp will follow him. Everyone in Germany is hoping that. But I think his style of play fits Barcelona. Maybe he learned something from dealing with big players at Bayern Munich and can do it better at Barcelona.
That was always a crazy feat as well, because when Julian Nagelsmann was the manager at Bayern Munich, there were like four or five players, senior players, who were older than Julian Nagelsmann, which is a crazy dynamic to have. Yeah. I think Manuel Neuer, Thomas Müller, Lewandowski. They were all older than Julian Nagelsmann, which was crazy to see. So, yeah, we're going to have to look at this Barcelona new manager topic a lot more as the season goes on and concludes, because it's going to be one of the biggest jobs in world football coming up, I would say, which would be good.
There's going to be a lot of jobs, it seems like, that are going to be open and vacant at the end of this season. I mean, look at Chelsea and look at your Manchester United.
Oh, dear me. Oh, dear me. Pochettino's looking like he's on his way out, but he's not even done better than Graham Potter. And Manchester United, with the new owner, co-owner, I should say, so Jim Radcliffe, it's looking really promising, because we're looking at a new stadium, we're getting a whole new bunch of staff in, a lot more senior directors, which is great to see. But the manager problem is a problem nevertheless, because we are playing good football at this time of speaking, Sara. Again, Kobbie Mainoo's been fantastic. Garnacho and Højlund have been absolutely fantastic recently as well. Rashford's come back from his all nice from Belfast and scoring against Wolverhampton, which is great to see. He had a good game against West Ham. But the manager question, I'm always going to back the manager, whoever's in, unless he's done something stupid. And for me, Sara, I'm glad you brought it up. He's actually done something really, really stupid. And I don't like what he's doing with playing favourites at Old Trafford. It's really annoying me. Continuing to play Andre Onana and continuing to play Antony, who is just awful. They're both just awful. And I think these two players, Antony and Andre Onana, are going to cost Erik ten Hag's job. Because you can't play favourites as a manager. You really can't, because it never works in your favour. And it just ruins
you. Can take that up with Gareth Southgate, because you know he loves a favourite as well.
This is why England fans don't like Gareth Southgate, because they just continue to play Henderson and Phillips in the midfield. Makes no sense to me as well.
Do you know what? I feel bad for Erik ten Hag, though, because I actually do think he's a decent manager. But also, when you're coming into a dumpster fire, literally a terrible situation at a team, there's only so much a manager can do. And yes, they've brought in some new players. We've seen Højlund. But then again, the same time, the way Man U are playing, Hoyland's not getting service. Like, their formation doesn't coincide with the player that
Preach.
He is. And so, yeah, I mean, and we, Antony, man, what a waste of money he has been. It's been, he might be the worst signing ever in the history of the Premier League. Like,
not might. He is certain numero uno. He's number one. How do you say one in German, Leon?
Eins.
Eins?
Nummer eins.
Worst signing in Premier League history is Antony. £85 million. It's not looking great as well. But the positive things of Manchester United is what I mentioned to you earlier this season, Sara. The younger players coming through the academy, the younger players who are coming into this team. Rasmus Højlund finally getting service, because Antony's out of the starting lineup and Alejandro Garnacho has been shining on the right wing as well, creating more chances, creating assists, crossing it into the box a lot more frequently. And Rasmus Højlund scoring a fantastic goal with his weaker foot against West Ham United. It's going to be a really tough test coming up against Aston Villa on the weekend. Salim, I know if you'll be listening to this, it will be great fun to see the result come Sunday evening. But Aston Villa are one of the best informed teams in the country. Man United are getting back into form. We're unbeaten in four games. And with Manchester United this season, they recently broke a brand new record. So Manchester United have scored more goals by teenagers than any other Premier League team in the Premier League history. 104 goals, with Liverpool finishing second. Not finishing, but Liverpool are second with 101 through to teenagers. So Manchester United will always continue to bring younger players through the academy, which is one of our shining lights. And it has always been our shining light since Erik ten Hag has been in the side. And some other managers didn't like young players. Some other players do. Our young players are absolutely shining, which is great to see. And I'm expecting Kobbie Mainoo to actually make a call up for the England national team before the Euros, because I think Kobbie Mainoo, Jude Bellingham, Declan Rice, or Kobbie Mainoo, Jude Bellingham, Phil Foden would be absolutely mind-blowing at the European Championships. And I personally think he's good enough to be playing for England at the moment. But that's just my Manchester United opinion and my bias in there as well. But time will tell. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And it's saved Manchester United a good £60-70 million from buying another Ajax player for the same qualities, really. So I think we've done quite well there with Kobbie Mainoo. Someone who's done very, very well. Leon, it's your time to shine, my friend. This is why we're here. I could talk about Bayern Leverkusen.
Red carpet.
He's got the red carpet. He's got the orange wall behind him. He's got lots of football shirts behind
he's
him.
He's taking a sip of water. He's ready to talk.
Drum roll, please, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to be talking about... We'll be talking about the game later on, actually. We're going to conclude the podcast with one of the biggest games in Bundesliga this season as well. But we are going to be talking specifically about Bayer Leverkusen, who are unbeaten in 31 games, I believe, this season. 30 games domestically this season, which is unbelievable to see. You've got so many unsung heroes, but we always talk about the big players. Sara knows how much I appreciate Alejandro Grimaldo. I know how much Sara appreciates Jeremy Frimpong. We both love Florian Wirtz, who's been fantastic. Patrick Schick, obviously, is my favourite Bayer Leverkusen player, because he threw me his shirt after a 2-2 draw against Hertha Berlin, and a very drunk and angry German man snatched it off me and threw it back at Patrick Schick's face, which did make our podcast kind of go viral within Germany. But at the end of the day, I need to hear your thoughts on how positive Xabi Alonso and Bayer Leverkusen have been playing. Because you've had quite a few injuries as well. There's no Victor Boniface who's out till April. You've had Jeremy Frinkelmann out the side and Nathan Teller coming in. Talk to us and talk to our UK audience especially, or our Premier League focused audience, I would say, on why Bayer Leverkusen might be one of the best stories of the season so far, Leon.
I don't really know where to start. There's so much. There's
you could have started way better than that, Leon. Come on now. You could have started so much better than that.
No, I mean, there's so much to talk about. You told about the unsung heroes. In this Leverkusen fan bubble, there are no unsung heroes. Everyone is playing their part so well. And that's one of the secrets why Leverkusen is unbeaten this season, which is crazy. I've never seen anything like that. I'm 27 years old now. I was four when we got to the Champions League final in 2002. And I think this team is better than the one with Ballack, with Bastuk, with Novotny, with Zé Roberto, and all those legends.
I feel sorry for you because you saw Lionel Messi score 5 goals against you at the Nou Camp.
You've been
through the trenches as well. You've seen a David Moyes Manchester United side beat you at home 5-0 or 5-1 at your ground as well.
For that one, yeah. I was in the stadium when Zlatan scored 3 against us. I was in the stadium, at dark times. But right now, I am able to witness this historic season until now. And talking about unsung heroes, I think it's the role players who make this team especially special. Like Nathan Teller, he doesn't play much, but if he comes in, if he plays from the beginning, he scores 2. We talk about Andrich, who was a cornerstone of this team last season, became a national player for Germany, and now is on the bench all the time because Xhaka and Palacios are so good. And now he comes in like yesterday against Stuttgart and scores a banger and keeping
that
us
goal
in the game.
Is one of the best goals I've seen this season as well. It's like me playing football on a Friday night. I'm very comfortable going top corner as well. I need to get a video.
I'm always doing those as well. Yeah,
I'll challenge you to a crossbar challenge any day, Leon. So whenever you're in England or I'm in Germany, we'll challenge each other. It'll be good fun.
Challenge accepted. But
I'm ready for it. Sarah will beat both of us, by the way, but I'm still accepting the challenge nevertheless, which will be good. She actually plays as a striker. I'm a defender, so it's not going to be
left
good.
Left wing. Come on.
Left wing. Neymar. That's what I'm saying. Neymar Jr. right here.
You're left-footed.
No, I'm right. I cut in.
My favorite player this season from Leverkusen, you can't see it here, but Palacios. He is
Kai Havertz. What?
Yeah.
Palacios. No, that's Havertz. That's Havertz from Chelsea. But on the back of this jersey, you can't
see
it.
There we go. I can see it.
It's Palacios.
Yeah. Palacios
because he does it all. Xhaka is like the leader in the center and Palacios all the way around him. He gets the ball. He does incredible passes. Not quite as good as Florian Wirtz, but incredible. And for me, he is for now the player of the season, although he's injured right now. But I hope he comes back as soon as possible, maybe even until the Bayern game on Saturday. It's a crazy season. We change keepers in the cup and in the Bundesliga, which we've never done before, and it works somehow. I don't know what Xabi Alonso is doing. He just elevates
everyone. That is just cooking.
He's cooking. Jonathan Tah, which kind of was like a lost talent along the way. Which
he was a failed wonder kid. Jonathan Tah was as well.
Yeah,
he should have been one of the best in Germany.
Many thought he will be the next boss in the Germany defense, and then he wasn't. But now he is, and everyone is talking about, okay, he has to be in the starting lineup for the European Championships, and I agree. And unsung heroes, Piero Incapié, one of my favorite players last season, this season as well, has a similar role like Robert Andrich because he doesn't play as much, but if he does, he plays great, one of the biggest talents in the world right now, my opinion. And Odilon Kusunu.
He did not have a good AFCON. He was poor at AFCON. That was crazy.
I'm so glad he was.
Yeah, he's like, bring it back.
It's going to be playing later on, I think. Or it's still suspended, I think, at the moment, at time of recording, yeah. which is crazy. Yeah, yeah. So maybe he comes back in the final and wins it for them. That would be crazy to see for Ivory Coast.
they have to come back as soon as possible because Sunu played in the first half of the season like Prime Lucio for me. Maybe not as as a goal getter, but the way he plays, gets into the midfield, past the ball, and it's crazy what Alonso did to him, because the years before that he was okay, maybe a bit too expensive for what he did, but now everyone is clicking, and Xhaka as well. When he got to us, I was like, maybe a good player, but is he the leader we need? He is.
I mean, your football shirt, your shirt for the season, copied Granit Xhaka's country's flag, basically. That little cross right there, copied Granit Xhaka's Switzerland flag. So I'm just like, they're literally playing to his heartbeat, which is great to see as well. The craziest thing I've seen at AFCON this season is having Kusunu for Ivory Coast, a centre-back, wear number 7. That's the most out of place, out of pocket thing I've ever seen at the African Cup of Nations. And there's been a lot as well. But to see Kusunu wearing number 7 as a centre back, that's the wildest thing I've ever seen, which is absolutely ridiculous. But it's a fantastic.
Everything Ivory Coast, though, has done in this AFCON has been just insanity. Like, nothing about the team makes any sense. How do you sack a manager, go into the round of 16, try to get a manager on loan in Herve Renard, and you don't have a manager for a match? Like, chaos. Chaos brews.
Interim manager, and then they win on penalties as well. And you're just like, they win, they get two last minute winners, one in normal time and then one in additional time, 121st minutes, and they're in the semi-final. So there's so much going on at AFCON, and it's been a crazy ride to see as well. But we will be talking a lot more Bayer Leverkusen theme topics as the conversation goes on. So Leon, make sure you're preparing as well, because I've got a quick question for Sarah. Did you know that Heung-min Son used to play for Bayer Leverkusen?
No. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. What am I saying? I said no, and then I immediately took that.
There we go. That's okay. Did you know that Danny Carvajal?
Do you know that Sardar Özmoon is on loan to Roma from Bayer Leverkusen?
I do know that because I watched him last season and I was like, he's a pretty good striker, Sardar Özmoon as well. He's got a great goal today.
Opening a bicy?
Opening goal in the game. Ridiculous. Ridiculous game. We were talking about it before we started on air as well, but Iran losing to Qatar was a ridiculous one. But we won't be talking about it on air because we don't want to get cancelled by Qatari affiliates as well later down the line. But Toni Kroos used to play for Bayer Leverkusen as well. Danny Carvajal used to play for Bayer Leverkusen. Dimitar Berbatov. There's a whole array of former Bayer Leverkusen players. I'm not talking about Kai Havertz here, Leon. Come on now. Florian Wirtz is a better player than Kai Havertz ever was at Bayer Leverkusen. Havertz's career's gone like that. Wirtz's career has gone like that. And is going to be one of the stars of the European Championship if he remains fit as well, which we'll be getting onto later down the line as well. But one topic that we always do on our regular podcast, which you are doing, and Leon, you're going to have to get involved in this one. Start, bench, sell. So doing start, bench, sell for Bundesliga strikers, excluding Harry Kane, because everyone would have picked Harry Kane if I picked it. So I've had to be a bit creative with this one. We're going to go for...
He's like, I'm not picking Harry Kane.
You would have benched Harry Kane, but you would have lost your job, Leon. Let's be honest now. If anyone saw that in public and you said Harry Kane as a sell, no way. I know you want to create chaos in this podcast today, but we need... Yeah, pens.
I know. I'm so bad. I couldn't even hold it.
It's pens.
I got the penalties going on my phone. Oh, no.
I got the live thing here as well.
Oh, we are the worst. We are the worst. Okay, I'm happy though. Yeah, missing a penalty. South Africa. It's a bit written in the stars, Nigeria, this AFCON though.
Yeah.
Like the way that they've been going through, just barely, but it kind of seems like it's Nigeria's tournament to lose at this point.
I mean, the whole Victor Osimhen factor as well, the crazy formation they have with the 5-4-1 and just one striker up front. They're playing AFCON football to the best of their ability and they're doing so well. So I hope by the time we finish our start, bench, sell segment, we will know who's at least one of the main players in AFCON, which would be crazy. I hope it's Osimhen. I made a bet earlier this season, Leon, about Victor Osimhen outscoring himself in all competitions. And so far, if he scores another one, it would be great to see. But we'll have to wait and see. All right, take two. Start, bench, sell, Bundesliga striker edition. Serhou Guirassy from Stuttgart, who's been amazing so far. He's just recently come back from AFCON. We're going to go for Lois Openda, who has been a shining light for RB Leipzig. Been so great this season that Timo Werner left on loan to Spurs. And finally, we are going to go for Bayer Leverkusen's finest, well, actually second finest, who's actually injured at the moment, Victor Boniface. Go ahead, Leon. Let's hear your thoughts. Start bench, sell. Guirassy, Boniface, Openda.
You know I have to start Boniface, you know. You know I have to. Because he could be better in front of goal. He could be, but I think he will get there. But what is so great about Boniface is like his style of play. He's a dribbler, but he still can...
He can still goal punch.
Yeah. Well, I was losing the English word there. But yeah, okay. you know what I mean?
He can just tap it in the six-yard box.
He's a striker, but he's like
an athlete.
can I say this? No,
you
sorry,
can swear it's fine. I'll put it as explicit for this weekend. We will lose monetary gains, but for you, Leon, we'll put it on.
No, you have to believe it.
We're keeping it unedited.
We're keeping it on this one.
This is comedy gold right here, ladies and gentlemen. So we're keeping it in.
I was working the whole day with the Super Bowl and with the Bundesliga and with.
Are you going to the USA?
I'm done. So, Boniface can play as a striker as a winger, but actually as a striker, he's so unpredictable in what he does. He's not a one-trick pony. Can do very many things. So I have to start Victor Boniface, and I have to bench Lewis Openda because I was in Leipzig on Sunday and was watching him and was stunned because he's so explosive. He's so forward going, and I think if he comes from the bench, he's always an asset. Just like Amin Adli was yesterday against Stuttgart. You know, he comes on,
great
and
finish.
Just faster than everybody else.
Another one of your players that failed at AFCON as well. Again, he didn't do well for Morocco at AFCON. So he's doing great for Bayer Leverkusen, but not doing good for his national team. Clearly, Xabi Alonso's got the priorities sorted there for Bayer Leverkusen players.
And another one of those role players, unsung heroes, who don't play as much, but are there when they're needed. And I have to sell Guirassy just because I think he hasn't shown it for a long enough time. It's this season. He's
this is what we're talking about. This season, right now, this moment.
Okay. This season, but now he's hurt. So yeah,
17 goals in the league and 14 games. That's a crazy stat. And he literally, like you said, came out of nowhere in the Bundesliga. It's been one of the best stories of the season.
Yeah, but I can't pick him because he's a former Cologne player. So
I get it. Local rivalries. I get it. You should start with that, Leon. It would have been easier.
It's not possible. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's good. I like the list and I like your reason as well. Sara, go ahead. Start bench, sell Guirassy, Boniface, Openda. I know you're reacting to penalties as we're speaking as well. So.
Oh, it's just crazy. Leon's not going to like this one, but I have to start Luis Openda. I have to.
I'm liking this already.
It's dangerous out there. 14 goals in the Bundesliga, 4 goals in the UCL. He danced in the UCL for Leipzig. Unfortunately, they have to take on Real Madrid, but listen, anything can happen. So let's hope they can cook them.
That's actually going to be a crazy battle because you may have Nacho and Rudiger center back against Openda.
Rudiger, if he's fit. Their defense has been all over the
Everyone
place.
Everyone is hurt. Everyone.
Yeah, Alaba's injured. Ferland Mendy's kind of back, but not really. So yeah, it's been all over the place for Real Madrid.
Mendy's back
anyway.
out of necessity more than anything. Ancelotti was like, oh yeah, you're our last fit defender. You have to play now. Okay, cool. Otherwise, Bellingham goes centre-back. He would do a job at centre-back, Jude Bellingham, but he's not going to
do it. Put him in. Let's see what happens. Against Leipzig.
Openda versus Bellingham would have been fun as a bat as well. But Openda starts for you, Sara. Who are you benching?
I am benching Boniface. And it's nothing. This isn't fair. This isn't fair because we are choosing between three spectacular strikers this season. But when you look at Boniface, when you look at Bayer Leverkusen this season, when you look at how Xabi Alonso has worked with Boniface and he has this ability to take the best out of all these players, it's unfortunate to be Guirassy compared to these two, but it is Boniface. It has to be him. I know 17 goals in 14 matches. I know. I get it. But I just, I can't.
Oh, no. It's crazy.
Well, because Boniface did really well last season as well in the Europa League for Union Saint-Gilloise as well. I may have mispronounced that, so I do apologize to any of our Belsk listeners as well. But in 9 goals and 8 assists in the whole season last season in Belgium. And what a signing it was by Simon Rolfes, the former Bayer Leverkusen captain, who's now like one of the technical directors, I believe. A great signing for Bayer Leverkusen and a real reason as to why Bayer Leverkusen has remained unbeaten. So I think, honestly, I want to be a bit tedious and put Serhu Guirassy up, but honestly, I think because he's just been a Bundesliga striker, a great Bundesliga striker, I'll definitely give him his flowers here, because again, he came out of absolute nowhere. And there's another striker who played at Stuttgart who had a bit more hype and recognition before Guirassy came onto form. So maybe if Guirassy continues to go on, he's only got a release clause of £17 million. In today's market, it's not that much as well. So maybe there is going to be a team. Maybe there's an Arsenal or a Spurs who will look to come into him in the Premier League as well. Maybe even someone like Borussia Dortmund could go in for him next season as well, which would be a big thing, because Haaland's not looking great. Marlon's not looking great. Leon shook his head. He's like, yeah, and maybe he's not good enough for Dortmund. But you never know with strikers. They're a rare commodity these days. Don't you think, Leon?
I think Guirassy is like this typical West Ham transfer. I think he goes to like a mid league, Premier League club.
West Ham or someone like that.
Earns his millions and then, yeah.
Goes to Roma.
Roma with their 7 strikers in the team would be crazy.
Yeah.
Dybala, Lukaku, Abraham, Azmoun, Guirassy again. There's the other one, Belotti. Belotti went on loan as well for Roma as well. But yeah, my start bench. So I'm going to have to start Loïs Openda. I'm going to say it with my chest because Loïs Openda has been one of the shining lights in Belgian football for the last 3 years, in my opinion, as well. They've recently lost Eden Hazard. He's not dead. He's just been a dead footballer for like 3 years at Real Madrid. So he's been out of the picture until he recently stated about, oh, only Messi was the better footballer than me, technically. Like, he forgot Ronaldo was a young winger. Neymar was a young winger. Ribery wasn't a better player than him.
Players than him. There's about 50.
Florian Wirtz right now is better than Eden Hazard ever was. That's all I'm saying. Bold claim. Even Leon's disagreeing with me, but I'm not a fan of what...
Different player. I think Xavi Simmons is up there.
He is a very good player. We've already done the Xavi Simmons start bench selfie, so we can't mention him. He's a fantastic player to watch. What was it like watching him live last week in the game?
I was stunned. It was crazy. I don't know if you saw it. Like the first 3 actions of him was back heel, and it worked every time. And when he gets the ball, everyone is focused on him.
Mm.
Always. And everyone is expecting him to do something great, and he almost always delivers. And Dani Olmo as well. I don't know if you saw it, the goal which was then annulled by the VAR. He did a Rabona cross, which was so perfect. Šeško headed it in. It didn't count, but I was standing right on the sidelines. You can see me on TV, like I was there. It was crazy. And I'm not a Leipzig supporter, not at all. With the whole construct, but
that's what football
watching
does
him
to you.
Play, yeah, watching him play, watching Simmons play, it was magic. It really was. Yeah,
and that's why I'm going for Victor Boniface as my bench, because he has been magic for Bayer Leverkusen this season as well. So I was already mentioned his goals that he scored, especially in the Bundesliga. But the fact that Bayer Leverkusen no longer have to rely on someone like Adam Hoslek, who's been in and out of the side for the last 2 seasons since he's been there. Victor Boniface has been one of the best signings of the season across European football, and I've been really pleased to see how he's developed. What I really got annoyed about was the fact that for the Nigeria AFCON squad, he was injured, which is really, really annoying. And then now he's out until April, until we see Victor Boniface back at the earliest as well. But now they've got Borja Iglesias on loan from Real Betis, yeah. And Patrick
Schick. This is so fun.
This is very interesting, yeah.
What's interesting? What have I missed?
Iglesias. We were talking about this on the last pod, but I was saying watch for him because Xavi Alonso is doing his little, let me pluck a little Spanish striker from Real Betis.
Let's get a bit of spice over in this team. Another bit of spice up front.
No, he's a fantastic footballer. I love watching him at Betis these past years. And I think it's fun. It's going to make it interesting.
I was really surprised as well. Sorry, go ahead, Dion. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was out of nowhere, really, because no one had him on his radar. Everybody in Leverkusen was like, what did he do the last couple of years? But we trust Xabi. That's the whole thing. We trust Xabi and Simon Rolfes as well.
You trust Xavi Simmons? What did you say, Leon? Xabi. Was it my? Did I misunderstand your English there?
Maybe.
Did you say Xavi then stop and then Simmons?
Oh, no. I said Xabi and Simon. Simon
Rolfes. Oh, Simon Rolfes. Okay.
Oh, you were being serious. I thought you were pulling his leg.
No. I thought you said, we put all our trust in Xabi Simmons. I was like, I know you love him, but I mean, come on now. That's crazy.
No. Simon Rolfes, which is the architect of this whole team. And if they want him, we want him. That's the spirit of...
Sorry, guys, my lighting is crazy in
this
here.
So I trust him.
I'm looking forward to it.
As somebody who watches a lot of Spanish football, and I've watched a lot of Betis, Borja Iglesias is a fantastic footballer, and Xabi Alonso knows exactly what he's doing. So you shouldn't be too concerned.
All I'm saying is if Xabi Alonso is at Bayer Leverkusen next season, he should be signing Serhou Guirassy because he's been unreal this season as well. He didn't have a great AFCON. He didn't score, unfortunately. But again, Serhou Guirassy, 17 goals in 14 games and one assist for Stuttgart as well. Everyone knows Stuttgart haven't been one of the best sides in the Bundesliga for the last 10 years. So the fact that he's bringing relevance to a mid-table to lower-table Bundesliga side who are fighting relegation for a couple of seasons as well is great to see what a promising striker does to a team. And Sara, we spoke about this last week as well, about when a football club builds around a striker, when you build around a striker and you get the players in place to actually create chances and score goals, that's what wins you matches. And again, it's a very boring cliche I use there, but it's a very relevant cliche to how Stuttgart and Serhou Guirassy has been absolutely fantastic because he was head and shoulders compared to him at Stuttgart to him in the African Cup of Nations as well. So again, I'm agreeing with Sara on this one, starting Lois Openda, benching Victor Boniface, and I'm going to have to sell Serhou Guirassy for a mere £17 million. That really, of course, has to go up in the contract negotiations. But good job, everyone. We did a really good job there as well. And Leon, now I know for a fact that you're actually not hyping up Xavi Simmons too much. It's quite comfortable as well, which is quite nice. But we are staying in Bundesliga for Scout Ham. So this week, I'm going to be talking about a young player who's moved from PSG, everyone's second favourite French team as well, and he's gone to Frankfurt where Sara's family actually live. So there has been a link to this podcast regarding Sara's family. Hugo Ekitike has joined Frankfurt from PSG on loan for the rest of the season, and it's been a very torrid time for the young PSG striker because he hasn't really played as much as he hoped because of the new signs of Gonzalo Ramos, Randall Colomani and Ousmane Dembele all coming into the side last summer as well. The fact of the matter is he's not going to be taking out Kylian Mbappe for that number nine spot under Luis Enrique for PSG as well. So the fact of the matter is he's had to go on loan, get some game time. And Frankfurt have signed Donny van de Beek and Hugo Ekitike on loan in this January transfer window because they're two players who have been ousted and isolated from their clubs respectively. But again, he's only played four games in the Champions League from a bench perspective, one league game all season. If you're not getting a game time in league, I don't know what's going to happen with Hugo Ekitike. He's already made an appearance so far for Frankfurt. At the time of recording, he's not scored any goals. But the fact of the matter is he had a bright spark when he came through at Reims. He's named as one of the best young and up-and-coming players, been with the best wonder kids coming out of Ligue 1 for a very, very long time as well. And again, he scored, 10 goals in 24 matches for Reims back in 2022. So one of the best young strikers to come out of France. Maybe he has a redemption story in the Bundesliga this season, as opposed to someone who plays at Manchester United and is now playing at Borussia Dortmund, who shall remain nameless because there's no point of redeeming someone who's worth £80 million, not mentioning his name as well. Look at Leon trying to hold his face. Yeah.
I love it. I think it's this might be an ongoing story though here, because how many players have we seen fail at PSG? This isn't the first time. So I think we should still have a bit of hope here. He's gone to Eintracht Frankfurt, who, yeah, they've fallen off the past few years, but still a solid side in the Bundesliga. And if you're getting playing time, that's what's important, right? Like, I think this is a good move for him because PSG, as we all know, is a toxic, toxic place. And I think it's better for him.
Owned by your favorite nation in the Asia Cup as well, Sarah. So.
Shock.
Surprise. I also
think the Bundesliga this season is much more competitive than Ligue 1. So he'll be playing a little bit higher quality football, maybe a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more offensive as well. And that's as a striker, that's what you want. So listen, this could actually be a really good move for him. And I think we just keep our eyes and hope for the best for him. But I don't think the story's over with the young Hughes.
Yeah, Hughes is.
I also have... call him now, Young Hughes.
We need to get a Frankfurt shirt that says Young Hughes and no O on the Young. It should be Y-U-N-G H-U-G-Z. Just for the sake of it, it'll be looking good as well. Leon, talking about Hugo Ekitike as well, I need to talk to you about some of the players who have come from Ligue 1 who have then shined in the Bundesliga as well. So again, PSG have sold a lot of their players from their academy to Bundesliga talent. So Christopher Nkunku was one of your shining lights in the Bundesliga until he moves to Chelsea. Moussa Diaby, you took the words right out of my mouth as well. And then he degraded to go to Aston Villa. Of all the places, why would he go to Aston Villa? I don't get it at all. He's good enough for one of the top teams in Europe as well. But it is what it is. And do you think that's what's really beneficial about Bundesliga football? You tend to develop a lot of young players who may not have their ideal start to their careers and they become superstars in the Bundesliga. Haaland, Bellingham, Sancho. I mentioned his name, unfortunately, but yes, I did as well. Even Florian Wirtz, I'm talking about. Has been fantastic. Jeremy Frimpong is a big example for you. Maybe even Jan Kovar, your new goalkeeper from Manchester United.
Right. Yeah, I think in England, many people see the Bundesliga as a farmers league or developmental league, as Ben Leno.
Not in England, on the internet.
Okay, that's fair. But I think it's a good step. It's a good step for young players, as you've mentioned, because there's not as much media, not as much publicity, criticism from newspapers, from media on those clubs, except maybe for Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund. But that's still a big step to Manchester United, for example.
We get that on our social media comments all the time about German clubs. So we're all understanding about how the pressure's there for Bayern Munich and Bayern Leverkusen and Borussia Dortmund as well.
So that's a big difference, and I think this environment helps young players like Haaland, like Moussa Diaby, to develop themselves even further from maybe potential future stars, potential good players to really good players to players who break the Premier League goal scoring record in the first season. So
and win a treble,
and of course, titles as well.
And some fail to qualify for their country in the Euros after having an amazing season.
Yeah, but Haaland still is just one player. He can't play every position.
Hoyland did it and Haaland didn't. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Wow. Edin Dzeko did it for Bosnia after playing in the Bundesliga and Haaland didn't. So again, not just being biased.
Edin Dzeko became Bundesliga champion with Wolfsburg.
Haaland 2010 didn't. Or 2009, 29. I think. Yeah. Yeah. With graffiti. What a strike punch that was.
and Misimovic, legendary trio. Yeah, I think if you don't play for Bayern, you can develop in a quiet area for yourself with potential great coaches, great teammates. The quality is there. You see it with Leverkusen. You see it with Dortmund. Dortmund this season, not as much, but you see it with Stuttgart, Leipzig. I think it's the perfect step for many players. And if the Bundesliga can keep those coaches like Xabi Alonso, maybe we can keep those players. It's a big next step also for Bayer Leverkusen, who sold the best players in the last couple of years. But now we're trying to get big players like Xhaka to stay at the club and develop ourselves as a club even more, and therefore the Bundesliga as well. But right now, yeah, it's a good step for young players to play in the Bundesliga with not as much publicity and criticism from media.
No, nicely done there as well. Before we move on to our next topic, I've got two more questions for Leon. One, just from me personally, how does it feel to see Kai Havertz go from there, one of the best wonder kids in the world at Bayern Leverkusen, to there at Chelsea, and then there, even further down the line at Arsenal? I know he won the Champions League. I know he's won competitions. He scored the winning goal. But in terms of the quality that he had at Bayern Leverkusen to what he's at Chelsea and at Arsenal right now, what does that feel like as a Bayern Leverkusen fan?
Well, I actually went to school with him, so I know him a bit personally, yeah.
How? How did you not mention that before? That's
this
crazy.
This is the rest of the podcast. I need nothing else.
Did you play football with him? Are you like midfield partners with him? What's that?
What Leon, was he like? Did he get bullied or did he bully people?
Did he get bullied?
No, he was.
I need to
Leon
know.
Leon bullied him. No? Leon bullied him. That's all I'm saying. Leon was the bully.
Yeah, no. No, he was nice. He was
Leon still messages him on Instagram. Like, you play crap today, Kai.
No, he was 2 years younger than me. 2 years younger than me. But he.
So you definitely were a bully then, Leon.
No. I wasn't a bully. He wasn't a bully as well. But my brother actually had some classes with him, and he said he's a nice guy. He was a nice guy at 17. I don't know if he's still a nice guy, but I think so. I think so. It was actually crazy to see someone you saw like every day at school score Champions League winning goals. It's surreal. It is. But I don't think it's that much of a downfall, like you've mentioned. He's still a great player. He doesn't play well, but that doesn't mean he's not still a great player. He's still young, 25, I think, and he's not even in his prime. It's called Champions League winning goal, and I think he has all of the potential to still to be that player again that he was at Leverkusen. Like I mentioned before, in Leverkusen he had this bubble,
his safety where he basically.
Yeah, that's safe in it, where we could develop. And I've listened to a podcast like 2 days ago with him, where he said it was really hard to move to England. He didn't know anyone. He didn't know
what couldn't understand the accent.
His teammates would be like, yeah. Didn't understand anyone. No, but
he didn't move to Liverpool, so it wasn't too bad.
Oh. Yeah. London is okay, I think. But now, nice I think done. Now he's in a good position with his coach, with a coach like Mikel Arteta, to redeem himself. Maybe not yet, but I think he will be.
Ah, nicely done there as well. You save face there, Leon, just in case he comes back home and you want to go out for dinner with him or something like that. Just
yeah,
in case.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything bad about the podcast. It was those British and Canadian people that were really bad about you on the podcast, which ain't bad at all. But my final question before we move on to Premier League player focus, sorry, you can think of a La Liga player you want to talk about by all means as well, because we didn't get a second one this week. So I'll talk about a Premier League player and you can think of a La Liga player to speak about. Leon, talk to me about the top three players that we don't know in the Bundesliga who are actually playing really good football. I'm not talking about Guirassy or Wirtz or Simmons, who we've talked about a lot. Maybe there's some young players coming up that you think, you know what, they need a bit more hype and a bit more appreciation. This is your time to educate us in terms of who you personally think has been very good for the Bundesliga this season.
That you don't know. Okay. Who do you don't know?
Well, Lucas Neto. I know Lucas Neto. So if you're going to go for
I have right away, I have two players in mind. The first one is Waldemar Anton from Stuttgart.
Scored a good goal yesterday.
He's got a good goal, but he's an even better defender, I think. Mm. Is linked to Leverkusen. That's why I...
you're just doing your scouting now. You just want someone for next.
Yeah, I was scouting him a little bit.
Add him on career mode on FIFA. I know your drill. I know what you're talking about, Leon.
Yeah, I'm more of a football manager guy, but yeah.
Okay, nice. A man of culture, I see.
A man of culture.
Not using a controller, just using his laptop. Do that on your away days when you're traveling across Bundesliga games on the train.
I actually am. I'm doing it in the train. My girlfriend
is that
says,
where you get
why,
your information
why are you working
from,
at
well?
Home? My That's girlfriend so says, why are you working at home? You just got from work. Why are you working?
Forever working. I love it. Yeah. Always in football.
Yeah, but it's Anton for me because he's, I don't know how old he is, like 26, but he really came to himself this season, maybe grew into a role of a leader and is now ready, I think, for the next step, for the next biggest club, maybe Leverkusen, maybe Dortmund, maybe some Premier League club who is scouting him. So you should definitely watch him. Then one player from Heidenheim, which is a team...
Why are you giggling at them? What have Heidenheim done to you?
He doesn't think we know.
He thinks we don't know Bundesliga football. So.
Yeah. Heidenheim.
They're not a big team.
No. It's just we miss
Fortuna Düsseldorf if you need to. By all means, we're here for it.
We miss those big clubs like Hamburg, like Schalke, like maybe even St. Pauli in the Bundesliga.
Oh, we need to talk about Schalke as well. What's happening there? That's crazy. What's happening?
Oh my god! I have friends who are Schalke fans. They're miserable.
I have English friends who are miserable about Schalke, so we'll get onto that in a bit, which would be cool. Yeah. But again, yeah. back to Heidenheim.
There's one player, and you know those players who come up from the second tier and then just play a really great first season in top flight football, and you don't know if this is just a one season wonder or if they can keep it up. And for me, that's Jan-Niklas Beste, who has had amazing free kicks. Mm. I think scored the first Heidenheim goal for the Bundesliga in their history. And yeah, he's a player who stands out there. So
the German as well.
He's German, yeah.
He's German, yeah.
Yeah.
5 goals, 7 assists this season, left winger for Heidenheim.
Yeah.
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 So, don't worry. I don't know who he is, but I'll pretend I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
Carry on telling us. Carry on.
Oh, that's just, we're looking him up. Yeah. Yeah.
My hands are here.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now.
Right now. I'll keep it here. That's fine.
The third player for me, I'm just looking at the table and I see Mönchengladbach at 13th, which is surprising because they are for me like they are this season this team that has to find themselves. New coach. New players, and one player who...
they remind me a bit about Villarreal. They're in and out the Champions League. They're in and out European competition.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're doing really well in the group stages, but don't make it through. But they're a good team to watch in European football from what I saw. But they've gone downhill since Marcus Thuram obviously left them last summer because he was this poster boy of Borussia Mönchengladbach, for me anyway. Now it's absolutely shining, as Sarah found out last week, for Inter Milan. This season has been absolutely fantastic, and what a play. What a big miss he is that as well for the Bundesliga as well and for Mönchengladbach.
I wasn't quite sure if he would.
You weren't sure if we knew who Marcus Thuram was.
Sorry,
were you not sure that we knew who Marcus Thuram was?
No, I wasn't quite sure if he would be delivering at Inter Milan, but he is, and I'm happy for him.
That's good.
The player I want to talk about for a brief moment because I don't know too much to him, but. Is Rocco Reitz, which is a player who shouldn't or wasn't supposed to come through, I think, because Christoph Kramer, a former national player, world champion with Germany in 2014, said about him when he first got to training, we didn't really think he would come through, but he worked, got loaned out, I think twice. And now he's there to get a spot and is one of the most promising young players at Gladbach. Maybe in Germany, we have a lot of good midfielders, but I think it's a joy to watch him. And yeah, I think this one is one to watch as well.
Nicely done. Well done there. I'm really happy that you got to go through some of the players that we do know in the Bundesliga and some players that we don't know in the Bundesliga as well. So you can have another sip of that water. It's absolutely fine, Leon. You did really well there as well, which is great. But before we get into our match day previews, which is why we're going to be gassing up Italian football, German football, and of course, Spanish football. I could talk about Man United versus Aston Villa, but it's going to be good fun regardless. Sarah, I'm going to be talking about Ivan Toney this week because his comeback from his months and months away from professional football, his receiving racial abuse in England as well, again, and Thomas Frank, his manager for Brentford, has recently said that this may be his last season at Brentford. And there are times now when you're looking at Ivan Toney and you're thinking, is he worth signing? Like Manchester United need a striker, of course. We would pay 50, 60 million pounds. Arsenal definitely need a striker, and he looks like a shoehorn fit in an Arsenal. And Chelsea definitely need a striker because they're buying strikers, then loaning strikers out, and then they're scoring at different clubs as well. Shout out David Dutrow Fofana, formerly of Union Berlin, who played pretty well in the Champions League group stages as well, but now is back in England, scoring 2 for Burnley as well. What's your thoughts on Ivan Toney the season, Sarah? And do you think, again, 3 games, 2 goals. Is there a certain destination you think he will be going to? And do you think he's going to be making it into the national team for the European Championships for England in Germany?
There's one place, and the place is Arsenal. He absolutely should go to Arsenal. Arsenal, like you mentioned, need a striker. Eddie Nketiah doesn't really seem to be that guy. Ivan Toney has proven that he is. The fact
Jesus as well, by the way.
The swagger this guy has. I mean, like, listen, you get banned for, you know, all this betting controversy. You come back and you're like, nothing has changed. I'm still that guy. Like, the fact that he's letting it, like, kind of roll off of his shoulders, I think is fantastic. And I think, unfortunately for Brentford, he does need to go to a better club because he is that guy. He deserves to be playing at the top level. And if Gareth Southgate doesn't call him, then honestly, good for our German friend over here, because England aren't winning the Euros anyways. But actually, neither are Germany.
Neither are Germany.
No, we're not.
Absolutely.
But with Germany, they've already got stars on their shirt. So again, they can claim heritage as well. So again, 7-1 Brazil. That's still going to be iconic for me. One of my favorite games of all time. So
That's just rude. When was the last time England won a World Cup? Sit down over there, because...
Wait, an English guy is supporting Germany right now as well because of what they did against Brazil. How is that rude? I'm being kind to our courteous guest here today.
That game was pain for football culture. Like, I don't care.
Ozil and Cruz were on cruise control in that game. That proved how...
I don't know. I felt bad at one point. I was not enjoying that. But anyways.
I was like, another one. It's like Kylo Ren in Star Wars. It's like more and more. I just needed more goals. It was great. It was absolutely fantastic. But that was just me as well. I'm pretty sure Leon was just there like, oh, this is normal. This is Germany. Yeah, he shook his head.
No, it was. I was 17 at the time, and I remember exactly where I was. It's one of the biggest days in football history, I think. And I don't think it is.
At the Maracanã as well. Home tournament for Brazil. Insane. But again,
we were calling each other. Is this really happening? Are you watching the same game as we are?
Because it was a replay at one point, because there were two goals that were like back to back. But I remember looking at the screen thinking, no, wait, that's a... it was crazy.
It's four. It's five. Yeah.
David Luiz was on smoke that game, and in the wrong way for Brazil, which is crazy. But again, Ivan Toney can be on smoke for England in the summer as well. We've had some pretty good strikers to go through in the Premier League, and Ivan Toney is going to be looking like... I think he's going to score 10, 15 goals for Brentford by the end of the season. I don't think Gareth Southgate can't not pick him, because he never picked him in the World Cup squad in Qatar because of these allegations regarding betting. And that's why he missed out in the World Cup. And with Callum Wilson going, who wasn't even fully fit when he went to Qatar as well. So if we do go for a striker in Ivan Toney or Ollie Watkins or Harry Kane as well, those are the three strikers who I would take. I wouldn't take Nketiah. I wouldn't take Callum Wilson at all. I wouldn't really need it. You need three number nine strikers. The rest can be wingers and wide players who are fantastic at their job as well. Phil Foden scoring a hat-trick this week was absolutely fantastic. But that's kind of my point on Ivan Toney. And I think, again, racism, football and social media, they still need to do a lot more about it as well going forward. I think, realistically speaking, they can, but they don't. It's really, really annoying to see what's happening. And some of these players getting attacked just by playing football. And for moving
come
a free
to
kick.
Spain. I mean, I feel like even in England, it's bad. But Spain and by far Italy are the worst. Like, it's a shame how it's kind of continued, honestly. And I just don't really understand why the clubs aren't doing more about it. Like, honestly, if this keeps happening, don't let any fans come. Don't let any fans come to the game. Like,
stadium bans are needed in football again.
No, like, make a stand so then these people are like, okay, we can't actually say anything, because, you know, obviously having a home advantage with your fans there makes such a difference in football. We know this.
Points deductions, they should happen as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, it's really unfortunate, but we love seeing the players stand up for it. And Ivan Toney is one of those guys. But yeah, I think give him all of his flowers. And still early season for him as he has just returned. But I think we will see him go on an absolute brace. And it's great. It's great to see him come back as strong as ever.
Absolutely smashing it for Brentford. And he's going to continue with it as the season goes on as well. Sarah, have you got a player, La Liga player of focus for you this week? Who have you got?
This week in general or just La Liga in general?
This week and La Liga in general. We'll combine it.
I was actually going to talk about Artem Dovbyk from Girona. But
that's a good segue into our preview later on. So I'm liking it.
We'll stick with him because Girona obviously tied Real Sociedad 0-0. But he is top of La Liga for goals alongside Mr. Jude Bellingham and Borja Mayoral. But I mean, listen, this guy comes from the Ukrainian league. This is his first season with Girona, and he's top of the table for goals. Unbelievable. The Girona story is I'd say it's very similar to Bayer Leverkusen, but I almost think it's a little bit more crazy because they were in the Segunda División 2 years ago.
This is basically if Heidenheim were top of the league.
Heidenheim were part of the city group, yeah.
If they were part of the city group, it's true. I like that. Well, it's a good line there.
I don't like this narrative, I'll be honest with you, because everyone say they're part of the Citigroup. Yeah, they were relegated 2 years ago. The Citigroup doesn't really have that much say here.
They will be if they have their 115 charges against them. They'll be relegated.
Well, that's what's BS about it, because they're not getting the money. They're not buying these crazy top-level players.
Man City just bought Savio as well, and they're going to loan him back to Girona next season.
I'm sick of Man City. Let Girona do what they want. No, seriously.
They are taking the rain off Girona's parade. That's all I'm saying about Man City.
But that's the thing. Like, Girona haven't been getting what City have been benefiting on and those advantages. So it's not really quite the same. As I keep saying, they were in the Segunda 2 years ago. So it's such an incredible story. I mean, they really are like this the fairy tale, the underdog. And yeah, Artem Dovbyk, so incredible for him to be top of the table for goals. I love to see it. Really, really flashy player. I just think it's a great story overall. And of course, this weekend, we are seeing them take on the big dogs, Real Madrid, of course, to fight for a top spot in La Liga.
Live on the zone.
Live on the zone.
I'm loving it. I'm clipping it. I'm clipping it. I'm sending it to your employer as well. I'm like, yeah, he's doing his job even out of hours as well. Give him a raise. Leon, do you have a Real Madrid kit behind you at all? Do you have a Real Madrid kit or a player of Real Madrid descent behind you at all?
Take how?
Carvajal.
I had to.
Or Bayern Leverkusen player.
I had to. I was in Madrid the last year for Real against Chelsea.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
It was a crazy
experience. I feel sorry for you for watching Chelsea. Of all the teams, you could watch Real Madrid. You have to watch Chelsea.
I didn't care. I was there for work, and it was...
Kai Havertz was still there as well, so you saw your boy.
Yeah, he was. but I had to get a jersey, and I had to put Carvajal on. I was thinking about Camavinga as well, but yeah, I had to do Carvajal because of his Leverkusen past.
No, that's fair. I totally get it, but I cannot support any Real Madrid player ever, ever, ever. They're actually talking about Alphonso Davies, obviously the best Canadian footballer, linked with Real Madrid, and I have a Canadian Alphonso Davies jersey. And I said, if he goes to Madrid, I'm throwing it in the bin. That'll be it for me.
You can send it to me. By all means, you can send it to me. It's perfectly fine. I'll take it.
If he goes to Madrid, it's over. Sorry, just an update on Chelsea, since you love to speak about them so much, Hams. They're beating Aston Villa right now 2-0.
Yeah, it's crazy. FA Cup replay at Villa Park as well. So maybe Poch is actually fighting for his job this time instead of trying to replicate his 2016 form with Spurs as well. So I'm glad that Chelsea are getting back into the swing of things. But realistically speaking, 11th is not good enough when you spend $1.2 billion in two seasons as well.
That's 11.
I mean, imagine if Girona spent $1.2 billion in two seasons as well. They'd be superstars by now. But again, they can do that when they've got Man City as part of their business group as well, which is great to see. But what's your thoughts on the game, Sarah? Because Dovbyk, it looks more like a classic centre forward to me as well. The fact that he can occupy the 18-yard box really well, the fact that he can score off both feet, head of the ball. And I like the fact that he continues to have that poacher's finish in front of goal as well. The goal against Barcelona, I'm sorry to bring it up as well, that was a classic finish as well that we need to see a lot more of in Spanish football, because sometimes in Spanish football from this season, what I've seen, everyone wants to rather shoot from outside the box spectacularly, press an R1 in a circle like on FIFA, or they want to just try and walk the ball into the net. But Girona playing their street football that they do, it's been refreshing to see as well. But what's your thoughts on the game coming up between Real Madrid and Girona at the Santiago Bernabeu?
Yeah, I just actually was looking up to where it was too. Listen, it's going to be tough. The Bernabeu is a bit of a fortress, but we saw Atleti come back, Marcos Llorente, in the final minutes there just last weekend. So if Atleti can do it, Girona can do it, no doubt.
I found it hilarious. Sorry to interrupt that. Marcos Llorente, former Real Madrid young player, Wonder Kid, celebrated for Atletico Madrid at the Bernabeu. That was quite
funny. As he should.
You're seeing Mali strikers not celebrate against Ivory Coast. Like, he actually used to play for Ivory Coast. And you're seeing someone like Marcos Llorente, who won the Champions League at Real Madrid, celebrate for Atletico Madrid. So I'm like, some people have no shame. Some people are shameless. So I'm like, that's a big scale right
there.
I think
it's more, though, that even though, like, you can come from a team, but Marcos Llorente, I think, is way more associated that with Atletico Madrid at this point. I think, like, also there's like a personal connection that we don't maybe know about. Mm. But it seems
young
like
Simeone, Simeone's adopted son, but the way that he plays.
Literally. So, I mean, like, who's to say? I think it was great. I mean, you have to celebrate. You're drawing the match against, you know, your biggest rival. your city rival at their home, of course you're going to celebrate. Like, you're over the moon. But yeah, so we obviously saw Letty do it. I think the thing is with Girona is there's no pressure on them, and that's been working for them this season. No one's expecting Girona to actually pull this out of the bag. Most people are probably not going to expect them to beat Real Madrid. And sometimes when that pressure is removed from that team, it allows them to play a lot with a lot more freedom. And I think that's what has been a gift for Girona, because they're just going into it, giving it their all, and they're playing really good football, but also because no one really expects them to kind of continue this run. So I think that that'll play well for them. And listen, they have a phenomenal team. And I think it's going to be a dogfight, though, because with Real Madrid, we have seen that no matter what, they never give up. This team will push and push and push until that final whistle is blown. Obviously, Vinny's getting back into it. Jude Bellingham, unstoppable. I mean, in the middle, whoever you want to put, Kroos, Modric, Camavinga, Fede Valverde up that wing. They're just stacked. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a really tight affair, but I think it's going to be, it's one for the books. And I love it. I'm going for a late Christian Stuani goal for Girona to win the match.
I'm going for a Daily Blind clean sheet, former Man United player as well. So I'm going to back my boy, who's been absolutely fantastic as well. But we all want to know what's going to be happening live on DAZN this weekend. So Leon, let's hear your preview on Real Madrid versus Girona, because I want to hear more about how you think Girona's fairy tale story can continue going as well, just like with Bayer Leverkusen, like you mentioned earlier in the podcast.
Yeah, I think what you said, Sarah, is really true. They have no pressure at all. And Leverkusen, it's they didn't have any pressure at the beginning, but right now it's building up because they're unbeaten for 30 games.
Yeah.
With Girona, is it Girona or Girona?
It's Girona in Catalonia, but in the rest of Spain, it's Girona. So technically, okay. The correct is with a G, a hard Girona.
Girona.
There you go.
Girona. Okay. Girona, it's different because, as you said, they don't have any pressure to actually win something. But I think at some point it will get to this. At some point, the players will think about it. What if we actually could do it? And I think
Leicester City did it in the Premier League. It was around that time when they beat Manchester City around February time at the Etihad. And they were like, you know what, this is where we can get into it. When they beat the biggest team in the league, I'm sorry, Sarah, but they beat Barcelona already at the Olympic Stadiums. Or if they beat Real Madrid,
I think this
Santiago Bernabeu, it's scary hours. Yeah.
This is the game. This is the game where they could actually believe it, starting to believe it. If they've
only lost one time this season as well, Girona, which is crazy to think about. Beating Atletico Madrid at home as well.
Yeah, that's some crazy matches, crazy wins. And if they beat Real Madrid, they could actually go all the way. And they could starting to believe they could go all the way, which could make them lose it all. So, yeah. I still think Madrid will win.
We have a debate on our group chat, Leon. We think who's going to have the best season out of these three teams. Aston Villa, Girona, and Bayer Leverkusen. Before we get onto the Bayer Leverkusen preview, which we'll leave till last, actually. It'll be a good segue to finish the show. Which of the three teams do you think will finish highest in their respective leagues?
That's crazy. I don't want to say
Leverkusen. The one with Bayer Leverkusen shirts.
I don't want to say Bayer Leverkusen, because when I say it, I'm so afraid to jinx it. I'm so afraid to
say it with your chest, my friend. Say it with confidence.
Yeah. I think Leverkusen will do it.
Boom! That's what I wanted to hear.
I agree, though. Do you know what? I think so as well. I think they have the tools. I think they have the players. And
most importantly, the squad depth as well.
That's what I mean. I'm worried about Girona. If they lose anyone, it could be a massive hit for them. And also, I'm worried about, I'm like, April. Like, April's going to sneak around and they're going to have to start replaying some of these big teams. And, like, It's gonna be a massive test for them. I just don't know if the drive is there for sure. They want it, but will they physically be able to keep week in and week out delivering this? I don't know. I just don't know.
The only benefit with Girona compared to Aston Villa and Bayer Leverkusen is they're not in European competition.
They're not.
Bayer Leverkusen.
That's why Aston Villa, I think, is. I don't think it'll be them, because European football damages Prem teams truly.
that Thursday Sunday schedule as well. I think it's the same in the Bundesliga because not many games happen on the Monday in the Bundesliga. Thursday Sunday schedule is very, very difficult to maintain as the season goes on, which I believe AC Milan will be following this time around as well, as they're now in the Europa League. But we're talking about their game against current Scudetto champions Napoli, because Napoli is normally where we get to talk about Victor Osimhen, but he won't be there because as of today, Nigeria won 4-2 on penalties, and Osimhen had a goal disallowed and then it came into a penalty, which is absolutely insane to see. But sorry, we'll start with you. AC Milan versus Napoli. For me personally, I think it's going to be a solid AC Milan performance, but I feel like Napoli can steal a win with the way that they've been playing. Kvitra Kvaratskhelia. Yes, Leon, I am going to trust you to say his name later on. I hope you're not someone who says Kvaradona, so I hope you know how to say his name properly. Kvitra Kvaratskhelia is going to be... I'm looking forward to it. Kvaratskhelia has been one of the top shining lights for Napoli over the last 18 months or so since he's been there. Recently scoring a goal at home as well, which is great to see, kind of taking the burden off Simeone, who's also been there as a striker, and Raspadori as well, which has been great to see. But my key battle for this week is Di Lorenzo versus Rafael Leao. We have to see how AC Milan come back into the swing of things, if they can still compete for a top four position as well. And Sara, this is where I get to kind of ask you as well. We've spoken a lot about Giroud over the last couple months in terms of the season as well. Is there a way that Napoli can sneak a victory from Kvitra Kvaratskhelia, or does Olivier Giroud still bring the class, the goal-scoring ability, that aerial threat like he always does for AC Milan? What's your thoughts?
Like a 92nd minute header from a corner, classic.
Like how you beat England in the World Cup as well. Again, like 70th minute, and you're just like, okay, cool. It is what it is.
Oh yeah.
Which will happen at the Euros as well. That's the bold claim. England lose to France again. That's my bold claim. In the final.
You want the nightmares, eh?
I'm used to the nightmares. It's like that. Peaky Blinders meme. I don't know what it was. I have to Google it, but it's like, you can't break my heart. My heart's already broken. So I'm already broken.
Dear.
As an England fan, it's very dark right now as well. Hence why I wear a Germany shirt on the podcast as well. It's nothing to do with Leon being a German international broadcaster, but it is what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah, you know what? This one's tough to call. I mean, I think right now Milan are the better team. Naturally, we've kind of seen them get back into form just before the holidays, and Napoli haven't really seemed to figure it out. Obviously, losing massive players like Kim and Jay last season and their coach, that's huge. That takes a lot for a team. Without Victor Osimhen as well, we've noticed that he's also obviously like their most important player, if not him and Kvaradona.
No, you have to say his name properly.
Kvaratskhelia. I can even spell it.
That's fine. I can spell it as well, which is good.
Yeah. It was one of the things I was like, we must learn. But no, for me, this is going to be a fun one. I think much more so than what we saw from Inter and Juve this past weekend, which was a snooze fest. And I think we all knew it would be. This one, I think, is going to be a lot closer because both teams allow a lot of goals to be scored on them. And I think we're going to see a higher kind of scoring game here, maybe like a 2-1 or a 3-2 even. I'm going to edge towards Milan, though, because like you mentioned, Giroud in the final minutes is so dangerous, but I just think Milan have a little bit more up front right now than Napoli. But I think this one is going to be goals, and I hope it is, because as the neutral, that's what we want to see. Give us some exciting football, because Inter and Juve was dreadful.
It was really poor last weekend as well. Again, Leon, the primetime game last week was a 1-0 win for Inter Milan, but AC Milan had a really good game, winning 3-2 away, which is great to see. Giroud was on the score sheet. Leao had a really good game as well. Christian Pulisic is coming into his own kind of form now as a right winger, which is fantastic to see from an AC Milan perspective. But can you see a way that Napoli can actually hurt this AC Milan side from your perspective?
Oof.
Is it also live on the zone, by the way? I need the announcement.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Live on
of course. We have Serie A, we have La Liga, we have the Bundesliga. We don't have the Premier League, unfortunately, but
Yet.
It's normally I would say I would pick Milan all day over this Napoli team this season, but I was looking at the players right now, and they have a few injured players in the defensive column, so maybe this will break the neck, but still Milan.
That's okay. Yeah. It's not bad at all, because again, they've got the depth in their side as well. So yep. Then Kalulu is out, during AFCON, and I think he's come back injured. So Florenzi can stick into there as well. Calabria.
Is it at the San Siro too? Oh, it is. Yeah.
It's not at San Siro.
Long day for Napoli, that one, I think.
We're going for three of the most iconic stadiums for our matchday preview. We're going for the San Siro, we're going for the Stadio Bernabeu, and we're going to the Bay Arena. So, Leon.
Yeah.
this is your moment, Leon. Take it away. Ask us any questions about Bayern Munich versus Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich coming to the Bay Arena to actually end this unbeaten run that Xabi Alonso is going ahead. So take away in terms of asking us whatever questions you want. I've already prepared my combine 11 for this weekend, so I already know what I'm going with as well, which will be great. I'm ahead of schedule, which is fantastic. So everyone feel free to listen to Leon's preview for Bayern Leverkusen versus Bayern Munich.
Yeah, it's really the biggest game of the season, Bundesliga-wise. It's the first against the second. If Bayern wins, they're first. If Leverkusen wins, we are 5 points ahead, which isn't all the way, but it's quite comfortable lead, which we could blow nonetheless, which we did in 2002, 2000, 1997, you name it.
2002 was funny, though. It was the worst year for Michael Ballack.
It was so funny, yeah. I loved it.
Bayern Leverkusen, lost the cup final, lost the Champions League final, they lost the league, and Michael Ballack was suspended or injured for the World Cup final. And they lost to Brazil 2-0. Not the year for
Michael Ballack. Came second in 5 competitions. In Champions League, Bundesliga, Cup, World Cup, and and he won second at Bundesliga Player of the Year. So
it reminds me of Antoine Griezmann in 2016. Lost in the Euros final, Champions League final. Crazy.
Missing out on both La Liga for Barca and Atletico.
For some people, it's not to be, which is crazy to see. He has to go to Chelsea to win a Premier League, which was embarrassing.
In the year 2000, Ballack scored an own goal in the last game, which where we lost the title as well. So yeah,
Moved to Bayern Munich.
And then 3 years later, yeah.
He was an imposter. That's all I'm saying.
De Roberto as well. Kovac as well. We sold everyone to Munich. And this
Lucio
this is why
too, I
think. Sorry?
Did Lucio go as well to Bayern Munich?
Yeah, Lucio did as well. Every good player after Ballack, Lucio. Paulo Sergio before that. We have a great history of selling our players to Bayern Munich, which we didn't since a couple of years now. Arturo Vidal was the last one I think Bayern wanted, but we didn't sell him.
Havertz, directly, he then moved away.
He then, but not from us. So that's a win for us.
Florian Wirtz might be the next one. Can you imagine Wirtz, Sané, Musiala in a front three, attacking front three? No, that's scary hours.
I can't. I think Simon Rolfes knows what he's doing. I don't think he will sell Wirtz for less than 120 million to Bayern, and I don't think Bayern will pay that much because they are just Bayern. They're cheap.
I think they will. They could sell Kingsley Coman and Serge Gnabry, bring in Florian Wirtz, and you have the best midfield talent in German football. Crazy to think about.
They could, but I don't think
Thomas Müller will play until he's 40 years old as well, so we know what Thomas Müller's like by now.
Thomas Müller is so underappreciated. I think it's crazy, still underappreciated, not by us I believe, but by so many fans in Germany and all over the world. But coming back to the game on Saturday, that's why it's so important for Leverkusen to win, and that's why so many fans are scared. This is the one where we lose it, where we lose the first game of the season in any competition, where it all begins to crumble. And I am at home at this game. I hope I still get some tickets to watch it live. But many say it is the game that decides the championship. I don't think it is. Either way, if Bayern wins, they still have a lot of competition in the last couple of games. And if Leverkusen wins, we've seen before, we're always happy to blow it. Like Dortmund did last year. Bayern
We'll delete this from the podcast if you say it at all.
I can't even think about it.
We're thinking positively. We're on your side here. We're team Bayern Leverkusen. Come on now.
Yeah, I hope so.
All I've said about Bayern Leverkusen, you got.
I'm a Barca fan. I can't be a Bayern fan.
You're literally you've got allies across the world now here, Leon. So you have to remember, come on now, we are on your side for a reason.
That's good to hear. But I think the most important.
I need Xabi Alonso at Real Madrid, not Liverpool though. So I need him at Real Madrid. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see him anywhere, but not Bayern. Bayern, it's too bad. Except for if he wins the German Bundesliga, then he can go. I've told you before, he can go anywhere he'd like to. Even Bayern, I don't care. I want this championship in my lifetime, and this is the season. I hope so.
What's the main dangers from Bayern Munich from your point of view? Because obviously I'm going to be talking about Harry Kane a lot, but are you worried about how they've got someone as quick as Alphonso Davies? Is there anyone that you think we may not know about as well? Again, Thomas Müller, you mentioned him earlier. How could he actually hurt this Bayern Leverkusen side? Because it was a draw in the first game earlier this season.
Yeah, I think Müller's always dangerous. I think he will come from the bench. But I think the main duel will be in midfield. Center midfield, actually, because I was talking about Palacios and Xhaka before, and we have talked about off-air about Kimmich, about Goretzka, Pavlovic as well. And I think he may be the key. He's playing a fantastic season. Wasn't even planned to be there. They wanted a holding six in summer.
They wanted João Paulinho from Fulham, yeah.
Didn't get him in winter. And one reason that they didn't get him is Pavlovic. He's playing great. He's scoring goals. He's providing assists. He's playing defensively good. And I think he will be a key in this game, as well as Palacios, if he is able to play, as well as Xhaka. And then, of course, you have the players that can decide games: Leroy Sané, Harry Kane, Serge Gnabry, if he's in form, Coman, if he's in form, Frimpong on the other side, Grimaldo, Wirtz, Schick, Borja Iglesias, maybe.
Hey. Off the bench.
Let's go.
Off the bench. Yeah, that would actually make him an instant legend if he scores.
Yeah, scores the winner against Bayern. You're like, she was talking about him the whole time.
Yeah.
Sara knows football, so it's got to be the case. It's got to be the case.
Yeah, so it's really the whole team. It's really the whole team, but I think the main jewel is center midfield. If you can control that, if you can get the ball quick, control the game, which both sides like to do, always like to do.
That's what I really liked about the game at the Allianz Arena, the fact that Bayern Leverkusen, they didn't sit back. They didn't compromise like they did in previous years as well against Bayern Munich. And that's what Werder Bremen did recently as well when they won at the Allianz Arena. Like, German teams can now see that. Yeah, I know. Stop showing off. I know. You've got a cool job. Stop showing off. It's
no, I was expecting a 4-0. I've asked people, Bremen fans in front of the stadium, was like, what do you think the result today will be? 4-0, I think. But it was crazy because we were inside and you could feel the energy from the Bremen squad. Mm. They really thought from the beginning we could win here, and that's the energy you have to go into every Bayern Munich game, because if, like you said, if you sit back, which Leverkusen has done many times before, you most probably will lose, and this is what Stuttgart did as well against Leverkusen in the cup and in the league. They challenged us right out of the gate. They pressed high, they got the ball, and I think this is the main aspect: control the game, hopefully win the game,
which would be a good situation. I think, Sara, I don't think we have to talk anything more about that because Leon summed up pretty well, but I need to get your score prediction for this weekend in the Bundesliga. Bayern Leverkusen versus Bayern Munich. What's your score prediction?
Me?
Yeah.
Ooh, I really want to go with the Leverkusen win. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm going to lock it in. We got Leon here. We got to back this team because I won't be having Bayern win their 14th or 300th.
I'm not returning my Bayern Leverkusen shirt now. So the fact that I could have got one from Patrick Schick himself, I'm going to be supporting Bayern Leverkusen all the way. My Jadon Sancho Borussia Dortmund shirt is out the window. That's what I'm saying. Or I should say it's a charity because I give it to charity, but it's figuratively out the window now. So
yeah. Do you know what? I think it could be a 3-2 Bayer Leverkusen.
Oh, my heart.
I know, I'm sorry. You just went through it, but I'm thinking it's going to be another high-scoring match because look at these two offensive sides. It's going to be stupid. It's going to be great for Hams and I because we're going to be going nuts. You might be having heart attacks, but I don't know. I think it's going to be high-scoring. What do you guys think?
I'm going to go for a 4-3. I'm going to go for 4-4, actually. I'll sit on the fence for this one. think Grimaldo versus Sacha Boué will be the battle.
A Luton Town Newcastle classic.
It's got to be one for the ages. I'm expecting a big score result. Harry Kane scoring a hat trick for somehow Bayer Leverkusen coming back into the game as well. There may be a red card or two. There will be chaos from the Bayer Leverkusen side, and the fans will be up for it as well. But I'm expecting Frimpong and Alejandro Grimaldo to keep doing what they're doing. Grimaldo is one of the best creators in the Bundesliga this season. And for me, I'm going to say it on air because I've said it on my video that's coming up soon, out on Sunday. Not live on DAZN, but live on Friday Night Counterattack as well. Alejandro Grimaldo is the best fullback in the Bundesliga this season for me. Hands down. He's been absolutely fantastic.
Get the Bayern fans going.
I double that, yeah.
Yeah. Ten clean sheets this season. 9 goals, 7 assists, and it's just been unstoppable. And the fact that Xabi Alonso has that power to go, like, you know what, you still have to defend, and he still comes back, tracks back so well. He'll keep up with Sané. He'll keep up with Sacha Boué as well. And it's going to be a good. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be one of the best games in Bundesliga history for me, because it will be a title winning game. Because for me, if Bayern Munich win this game, they can put Bundesliga to the second place, because realistically speaking, they'll be focusing on the Champions League. But if they're starting with Eric Dier every week, I mean, as England fans know, he's not the best of players at the back, so there is always a chance. But I think Bayern Munich will win. If they win, then I think it's going to be a big game for the Bundesliga going forward, because Bayern Leverkusen won't come back into this. I had to break.
I had to
break it to you somewhere, Leon. Otherwise, white hairs would be growing on my head. So I'm not a fan of that. But yeah, that's my thoughts for the Bayern Leverkusen versus Bayern Munich game. Before we finish off our podcast, I just want to know more from your point of view the whole situation at Schalke. What's happening there, and is there a way they think, you know what, they can actually come back? Because it's one of the greatest clubs, or biggest clubs in German football, and they could be relegated from the second division in the Bundesliga. Is that correct?
Yeah. And if they get relegated, they probably won't get a license for the third division. So they like crumble under. Yeah. Mm. They will be relegated to like sixth or fifth. I don't know how it's going to happen.
All the way down.
But it's not the Schalke that we know anymore. And many experts say actually here in Germany, they're too big to fail. And I partly agree with that. But we have seen other big clubs like Kaiserslautern, which were relegated to the third division and are now slowly starting to get back up. But it took them years. And I really don't want to live in a football world where Schalke isn't playing in the first or second division. It's such a rich club with such his not rich club, obviously, but with a rich history. And they belong in the Bundesliga, just as Hamburg does, just as, those big traditional clubs belong. And it would be such a shame if they would be getting relegated. But I don't think they will. I don't think it. I think they are too big to fail.
I mean, if I'm doing a FIFA career mode or a Football Manager career with them as well, they won't be getting relegated anytime soon. So I think I'll keep them
safe.
Maybe
you should be getting the manager job.
I should. I've got my manager's license coming soon as well. So if I pass my examination in May, I think I'm good to go. So I can coach in Germany. I can coach anywhere in Europe, actually, which I've got my license, which is great to see. But enough about that. We're moving forward with that one as well. But we're moving forward into a fantastic weekend of football. And I want to say thank you very much to all of our listeners for today. You may hear some excited reactions to African Cup of Nations. So far, the Ivory Coast are drawing 0-0. Against Democrat. Yeah, they're drawing 0-0 at the moment, so still perfectly fine. But again, been a fantastic conversation with my co-host with the most, Sara Pararia, who did say live on air, if Alfonso Davies does move to Real Madrid, she will send me her Alfonso Davies shirt. So I'm looking forward to that move happening. I want it more than actually Man United signing a competent right winger as well. So Sara Pararia, thank you very much for your time today. Any wild predictions for the weekend ahead in terms of football, American football? What's happening with that?
Oh, American football, your favorite. No, I can't be bothered with that.
Adam Sandler's coming back in. That's all I'm saying. He's going to create another American football film. We were talking about
that. No, Casey's going to win because this guy, Patrick Mahomes, can't be stopped. He's too special of a player and he knows how to win big games. But enough about that. Let's talk about real football. It's going to be a big weekend. A lot of deciding games. Genuinely, Girona winning huge. Leverkusen winning huge. Let's go for the dogs this weekend and have those guys make some moves. I'm really hoping. And let's hope Barcelona can win, just another game.
Just another game as well. It should be good.
Just another game.
I'm just hoping for a fantastic African Cup of Nations final and the Asia Cup final. It's
staying. No, we don't watch the Asia Cup of anymore.
I can't watch it in England. It's not even live on the TV. Is the Asia Cup live on DAZN?
It's on YouTube for free.
On our one, it's blocked, which is really annoying. Is the Asia Cup live on DAZN?
I think so, yeah. I think
That's okay.
Oh, my God.
There is so much football. The African Cup is live on DAZN, and I think the Asian Cup.
DAZN in Canada is so poor. We get none of it. We just get Champions League on DAZN.
All we get is women's football and boxing in DAZN in the UK.
We get boxing, too.
We have that as well. Yeah, we have everything except for the Premier League, I think.
All right, we're moving to Germany.
It needs to be done. Like, again, after this, Leo's going to send in our application for DAZN Germany, and we'll be working out of Germany. And in a year's time, this podcast will be spoken in fluent German, which would be great as well. Jordan versus Qatar will be the Asia Cup final, and Nigeria versus, I hope you think, Ivory Coast would be fantastic, because in our sweepstake, I predicted both Nigeria and Ivory Coast would be my teams to pick, and one of them's in the final.
I also had the first picks for like all of them. I had like the fifth pick and the fourth pick. So over there.
When you have your draft picks on our podcast, you always get first. So again, I did it on a randomizer.
I've given it to you also, though. I've given you a first before, just as a gift.
All I'm saying is, if we're doing an all-time Bundesliga draft, Leon has to be a part of it. Would you like to come back for another podcast, Leon, later in the season?
I would love to.
That's fine.
Then my English will be better prepared.
Your English is fantastic.
Your English is better than my English, and I'm not even being racist towards me. I'm just saying your English is very clear. With me, I like to use a lot of, we call it roadman English in England, so like slang and stuff. So I do apologize about that as well. But before we wrap up, I want to say thank you very much for Sara Perari, and a very big thank you to our special guest, Leon, who's been absolutely fantastic from DAZN. And like Leon said as well, it's not easy doing a podcast in another language. I appreciate the fact that I know in Germany they speak English as well, but again, it's a really big commitment to do that as well. So thank you very much for your time. Where can everyone find you if they want to follow more from you and your fantastic journey? And where can I get my job applications for DAZN Germany? You have to email it to me later on, which would be great.
I can email it to you. You can look it up under DAZN.de/jobs. There will be applications for you to fill out.
I'm ready. Get me there for the Euros. I'll be there wearing a Germany shirt.
We don't have the Euros.
Oh, you don't have the Euros? No way.
We're not going to Germany. It's over.
Who is it? Is it Bill that has it? Who has it?
It's quite complicated. Who has the Euros? We have a TV channels who are sponsored by the state, so
it's like free to view channels,
free TV. Yeah, you can watch it there.
Oh, that's even better for the public then. That's a nice thing.
It is. Yeah,
don't be charging people $15 a month to watch Germany get out in the group stages. We can't be having that at all.
You have to pay for it.
Oh, okay. So you still have to pay for it as well. That's really.
But you can. It sponsors all the radio, all the TV. So yeah.
Maybe on YouTube for free, like Sara mentioned, of the Asia Cup as well. I'm deflecting here. Leon, where can everyone find you if they want to hear more from you over the course of the season and seeing some of the fantastic work that you're doing for DAZN going forward?
If you want to hear me talk in German, understand German, or want to learn German, you can find me on Instagram.
You had a few good English ones as well. That's how I noticed you, so I have to say that.
We did do English?
You spoke to Man United fans, remember? It's Bayern Munich.
Oh, yeah, I did. And we spoke to some tourists as well in the city. I think this one isn't published yet, but it will be soon. if you want to find me at Instagram, at TikTok as well, I don't do as much there, but it's at Leon_Karasch, which is KARASCH.
We got him.
He's there. We go.
434.
Go on, Sara, pronounce his surname. Pronounce his surname.
I need one more.
Oh my God! Yeah, what does his caption say? Ich, clear.
I create content.
It means Deutschland.
It means
I create content for Dutch Germany.
And it's fun. L with a lock. See, we can read German as well, Leon. We can read German. It definitely doesn't say C translation, but we can read German, which is good to see as well.
C translation. Ich kreiere Content für DAZN.de und das macht Spaß.
That weird B you guys have in German.
That's an S.
That's a sharp S, we call it.
So how do you say that last word? S-P-A-S, the weird end?
Spaß.
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 What footballer has that name, just for context?
Sorry?
Is there a footballer that has that S in that name?
Yeah, so former Liverpool player as well, Stefan Kiesling.
Stefan Kiesling.
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 Oh, get
he's a legend at our club. He's
I know
legend.
Who he is. I've seen him lose to Man United numerous times, so I know his.
Oh yeah, yeah, right. He did.
He also lost to Barcelona numerous times as well. He was in that team, I think, that lost at the Nou Camp. So it was good.
He wasn't the team that never did win anything. Yeah.
I mean, when I interviewed Bayer Leverkusen fans in Berlin, their favorite player was Stefan Kiesling. So again, redeemer.
He is quite a legend. Yeah,
which is good fun indeed. But again, this has been a legendary podcast in itself. Great way to end the show. Everyone, thank you very much for listening. Do find us on our social medias as always, and do get involved in our conversation going forward. We look forward to seeing Leon further down the line in the season, because there will be a lot more twists, turns regarding Bayer Leverkusen as well, which would be great to see. And hopefully one of us gets a job at DAZN Germany, which would be good fun indeed. But everyone, thank you very much for your time. Take care and goodbye.